oh, well, looks like the first shot has been fired in the Wednesday Night War, and it was right between the eyes for NXT. Welcome to AEW, All the Retrospectives. I'm David.
I'm Tony.
And it's been a while since we've gotten to talk about All Elite Wrestling. And, you know, when I first conceived doing this podcast, it was, you know, retrospectives on the last AEW event. And I got to admit, I kind of dropped the ball on that one. Schedule's been a little to say the least. And you know, I mean, we're not getting paid. We're not, you know, Conrad Thompson or Jim Cornette. This isn't our, how we make our living. Realistically doing a podcast every week, that's a little much, I think, you know. I mean, for each episode, I really wanted to do it that way, but realistically, is this, reality just came bursting through, and yeah, that's not going to happen. You'll get thoughts from us from time to time, every few weeks, just kind of checking in and talking about. I would almost call this All Elite Retrospectives freestyle. We'll just talk about whatever's going on in All Elite, and you know, what's interesting to talk about. We certainly are watching every week because it's a pretty exciting time to be a wrestling fan. But, you know, we'll check in here and we'll check in there. But gosh, let's, get right into it. The Wednesday Night War, 1.4 AEW, the most watched television show on Wednesday night, for the 18 to 49 demographic. The second most watched. Mm-hmm. So slightly behind Major League Baseball, World Series. I think NXT finished ninth. Mm-hmm. In that demographic, and got a 1.0. So yeah, it doesn't look good for NXT, and I didn't think we would be in that position where we would be thinking, hey, you know, when they made the announcement months after AEW made the announcement that they were going to be on Wednesday nights, I thought NXT would totally have this. Be a big, not nailed, but I would say they would be, you know, leaning first, with their already built-in audience and, you know, USA having so wrestling friendly and this and that, and NXT being a really hot product as well. And it doesn't look that way. It's not as hot as AEW. You know, did you watch both shows, Tony?
Yeah, I watched both shows. Luckily, for whatever reason why, through my cable provider, I was able to get NXT live, which upset me because I would have loved to prefer to be able to switch back and forth. But right. I got NXT live, and then I got AEW on the tape delay.
Yeah, it's different for me because I get my cable through Hulu, and actually you have the option. I just realized it now because I never watched TNT. But you can watch the West Coast TNT and the East Coast TNT. But the USA, it's got to be, you know, West Coast, which is, you know, obviously where we live. So local time, yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so you got to watch. Actually, that's how I originally would watch Nitro in Raw, is Nitro would come on at 5 p.m. On the West Coast, the 8 p.m. feed or whatever. And then at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, it would be time for Raw. So that's kind of how you did it this time. And what'd you think of NXT? Let's get into that a little bit. I know we're not like an NXT podcast, but what did you think about that show in a nutshell?
I really liked the wrestling in NXT. There were certain aspects of the broadcast and things that they do that I'm still not a super big fan of. And part of the reason why I'm glad we do this AEW podcast and we're more focused AEW podcast is just NXT, while good wrestling, and they, for the most part, they present a really high quality major league product. Sometimes just the little intricacies of what they do just doesn't do anything for me. And also, you know, AEW's, you know, part of what the appeal of AEW is you still like the appeal that you're sticking it to Vince. And while NXT is predominantly booked by Hunter, it still falls within the WWE banner. So
definitely,
you still got the idea that you're rebelling against the system. Whereas NXT, it's still part of the mothership. It's still part of USA. It's still part of WWE. So, But the wrestling wise, I thought of the two shows, NXT was superior. But as an overall show, I thought that AEW blew it away.
Yeah, let's get into a bigger picture here for a second. Like, NXT, they threw everything at AEW. I mean, everything. And somebody said, oh, because like Riddle's wrestled Adam Cole before on NXT. They gave you three title matches. I think some other people were like, oh, they gave you all the title matches. And then the guy, you know, the NXT fan was like, they didn't have the North American title on there. I don't think that's putting a lot of butts in the seats. Sorry, folks. But, you know, you had the women's division, you had the tag team division title, and you had the world title. You had the world title match in the very first match of the broadcast.
You had a 2-week advantage, a pre-show, a takeover caliber like show, limited commercials, a 15-minute overrun, three title matches. Mm-hmm. You had you had main roster guys parachuting on the show.
Yes, to save the day.
So you threw everything in the kitchen sink at NXT and you still didn't break a million.
Yeah. I mean, you basically got 2/3 of the AEW audience, and AEW, on the other hand, their show. Okay. Honestly, yeah, NXT was a better show because they threw everything at you, you know, this week. You know, that's not the type of that's what they call hotshot booking. You can't do that kind of show every week. And if you do that kind of show every week, well, that's like Russo era Nitro. Like, you know, you're going to get yourselves, you're going to fall into a dead end pretty quickly on that. And that's not a good idea. And I hope they don't ruin the NXT product that way. Because what are the takeovers for then? Right. Like exactly. The takeovers. I don't watch NXT regularly, but I do watch the takeovers, and they're some of the best events that you can watch of the year. They are formulaic, and I do feel like NXT is formulaic. I do feel like everything that WWE touches is stale right now and formulaic creatively. You know, you can't deny good wrestling, and NXT has, that Riddle Adam Cole match. Wow. You know, that was great. The thing AEW has going for it is it's not at all stale. It doesn't feel stale in any way. It's totally new. And that new feeling, that fresh feeling, goes a long way. And what they did, what their broadcast did was basically book a show that was smartly booked. It has some pretty big matches on it, which we'll get into. But at the end of the day, I mean, it was just a normal show. You know, it was a good intro show. Mm-hmm. It wasn't nothing was hot-shotted whatsoever, especially if you compare it to its competition. And it left you when, you know, you have, all the heels standing over the baby faces. It's really, that's been done a lot. That's been done to death, some would say, in pro wrestling, but it hasn't been done before in AEW. And also, it just felt fresh because you're seeing it with new characters, new wrestlers. I mean, just something as basic as that. And it gives you a great reason to come back next week and see how the baby faces are going to get their comeuppance. And I will point out that, you know, up until this point, up until this broadcast, I think Cody and the Bucks and Omega, it was always like, I mean, it's still known. Like, they're the guys. They're the guys running the show. And they're the top guys. You know, you have Jericho as the top guy as well, but, you know, these are like the top, tippy top guys. So the heels need that kind of heat on the tippy top guys. So in fact, it would be good if they continued that for a while. So then the tippy top guys, the guys that we know that like book the show, those guys, it's like, well, are they going to win? Are the Bucks going to win this match? Are the Bucks going to win the AEW tag team titles at the end of the tournament? Because, you know, as it looks, they totally are, but if they book it the right way, you'll be in quite a lot of doubt if they'll even win the tag titles in that tournament. And that's the way it should be, you know? So that's, it was just really, again, not like the best broadcast ever, but it was really smartly booked. They did not hotshot anything, and that's really smart at this point. And to beat NXT, that had a total, you know, hotshot. And the interesting thing is, now what does NXT do? You know, now what does WWE do? They threw everything at them. Three title matches, world title in the opening broadcast, all the things you mentioned. You know, what do they do now? Huh? Are they just going to get beat by AEW every week? Because that's kind of what it looks like is going to happen. Like, if you throw everything at a new wrestling product on their first week, they beat you anyways. Yeah, you're going to get beat a lot.
Yeah, because next week, now we don't know if the AEW reign is going to go up or down one way or another. Because obviously that was the first episode. It was the premiere. Everybody that kind of heard of it maybe wanted to sample the product. So it's hard to say how much of that audience is going to stick around or if that audience is going to grow and get bigger. The thing with NXT is we kind of know where they're going at. We had week one, week two, and now this is week three for them. They're on a downward trajectory. Week three was supposed to be their big week. So now going forward from here on in, I can't imagine them going that much higher. Because they started off at 1.2, and then the week after was 1.1, and then this week was 890.
All right.
So, now mind you, I thought maybe we're going to have like a Monday Night War situation where I didn't think the audience would be split. I think, you know, with Nielsen magic, they'll find a way to both be around 1.1 something. But apparently that wasn't the case for this head-to-head, and going forward in the future, this may negatively affect both of them, but apparently they're splitting their audience.
Yeah, it would be really interesting to see what I haven't seen it done in years, many years. It'd be interesting to see if somebody gets a quarter hour of breakdown. For all we know, you know, which I mean, let's just give credit where credit is due. AEW trounced NXT. Mm-hmm. But for all we know, that Sammy Guevara match with Cody really, was a lot more interesting than that Matt Riddle, Adam Cole match to people. And the ratings went down as the show went on for AEW. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know even what the hour by hour breakdown is yet. But I don't think it went that way at all. Honestly, I'm surprised Sammy Guevara actually outdrew Matt Riddle and Adam Cole. And maybe it didn't, though. Maybe, you know, that match outdrew this and that, and that's what's fun about the quarter hours. But,
Like I said, what's interesting is going to be that week, too. Because we kind of know where the ceiling is as far as the audience between both shows. So I'm curious if next week both shows are going to grow their audience, or you're going to have some people that sampled both products and are like, yeah, this isn't for me.
I mean, ceiling is an interesting word because AEW obviously learned a lot of interest in just like, oh, what's going to happen on this show? You know, like a lot of that, but they can build on that audience. NXT, they had time to build on their audience and they gave you the best show they could possibly give you. And they still lost. So that is the ceiling for them. I mean, it's interesting because I'm sure USA, you know, when they were losing SmackDown, they offered like, hey, you got another product for us? And WWE's like, yeah, NXT. And I'm sure the initial thought from USA was, hey, let's have it on Tuesdays, replace SmackDown. Done. You know? And then WWE was like, wait, let's do Wednesdays because we can totally beat this new wrestling product into the ground and beat him right out the gate. And, you know, like we'll just consistently beat them and kill all the momentum, you know, split the audience as well. Didn't work that way. And now you have a product that on a weekly basis, I mean, yes, this week one, and you know, this is why we do podcasts, so we can analyze things and predict and, you know, also just, you know, hopefully there is a bit more of competition between the two, because it doesn't necessarily look that way yet, but, maybe we'll get a little closer in terms of audience, but, that would make it more interesting, you know, podcast or, you know, it make it more interesting war. But, at this point, WWE's, their product, NXT is going to get beaten weekly by AEW. Mm-hmm. That's what it looks like because of the ratings of where they were. They weren't even close. And they didn't have to put themselves in that position to get beat every week. Mm-hmm. And they are going to get beat every week. And if they move ninths, which might happen eventually, they'll really look defeated. And like, badly.
I'm more worried about, now, I'd like to say,
yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar, but the WWE released a letter sort of congratulating AEW.
Smartly done. They did that about an hour or two before the actual ratings came out to the public. But yeah, go ahead.
I wonder how long Vince is going to be willing to put up with this. Cause the thing is, everyone's sort of lamenting, it's like, oh, we get two great wrestling products. You know, if you don't like WWE main roster, if you don't like what Vince is doing with Raw and SmackDown, you have two alternatives. NXT may be more your speed, or AEW may be something that you like. But at this point, you have two nationally, you know, available products to as an alternative. I just wonder how long is WWE events going to be willing to take it on the chin before we really start see the competition start to ramp up. Because, yeah, we saw Balor on week one. I wonder if the fact that they're going head-to-head, that it just may get to Vince, and eventually he's going to want to start booking NXT, and it'll start to resemble more mainline WWE product. And then, again, I wonder if he's going to bust out all the guns, because he busted out a lot of stuff, Hunter did, because he knows the NXT audience. I wonder at what point will Vince not like losing, because it's still his brand within the WWE company, family. I wonder how long before he steps in and is like, okay, we're going to need to bring Reigns and Brock and everybody. We're going to need to take NXT out of Full Sail. I wonder how long before Vince starts booking stuff, and then what that looks like.
And if it hurts or helps. Sorry, go ahead.
And if it hurts or helps.
Right. I think, gosh, okay. So stay with me on this one, especially to a casual fan. Great wrestling doesn't even do it that much for them, you know, honestly. It's really the storylines that connect you to the characters.
Well, yeah, because if you compare the two shows and you're looking just for wrestling, I don't know about you, Crane. I can't speak for you, but I personally liked NXT better if you're talking just straight wrestling. But when you're talking about a full product altogether, I thought the AEW show was superior.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it's a smartly booked product. AEW, and especially like just the level of freshness and just showing some talent. You know, that's the great thing. It's like they have such a big roster that nothing's going to feel stale because they're not going to have the same guys for a week, you know? So the problem with NXT and WWE as a whole is their guys are overexposed, and they also have an affinity for lack of storylines or lack of fresh storylines, however you want to look at it. Either the creative is bad or there's just not enough of it. You know, back in the 90s, there was way more storylines going on. There was way more reasons to connect to the characters. Now, like in WWE, it's just like, I see this guy every week. It doesn't really matter what he does. You know, like there's like maybe one or two characters that have that draw still. You know, The Fiend for me has like a lot of draw. But I'm not going to watch Raw every week just for one guy. You know, that's I'm not going to do that. So, I mean, basically for lack of creative or lack of really direction a lot of times, just overexposing your guys, WWE has just decided, oh, just put a bunch of guys in the rest, you know, put them in matches, and we'll let them tell the stories in the ring, and we'll have great matches. And I mean, hey, sometimes SmackDown has really great matches, sometimes Raw has some pretty good matches. NXT obviously is known for that high quality wrestling product, but that's not gonna keep people watching. You know, I hate to say it, it's not gonna keep the casual watching. What AEW has done is has an entire roster of underexposed guys, and it looked big league. I mean, they're in massive arenas. They look like they're, you know, on par with the WWE, and they're just, you know, they're having finding good wrestling and reasons to care about the characters. They could do a little bit more of that too, honestly, but they're definitely going in that direction more than the WWE has on a lot of the stuff, including NXT. You know, I mean, you mentioned something about Vince and how he's going to affect the product and this and that. If they do more storylines at NXT, like, that are decent, I'm for it. But one thing that I think would be another huge mistake by the WWE is thinking like, hey, we have to be AEW. Like, we have to do it.
Yeah, so we're going to put Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar all going to show up to Full Sail. So,
right.
So they can at least
spend it out weeks ahead of time.
Yeah. You know?
And then what happens? If they beat Brock, if AEW beats guys like Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, or mostly if they beat Brock, you know, like, but because again, like the oversaturation of all the other wrestlers, like there's only a couple really big names in WWE truly, like that are like, you know, going to draw fans that wouldn't already be there. And if they beat somebody like Brock Lesnar on a Wednesday night, AEW, like, wow, like how embarrassing would that be for the WWE? That could happen. You know, this can happen. Nobody thought we would be at this point. I don't think anybody thought that AEW would do this well against NXT. I didn't. And I don't think a lot of people are surprised about it. And at this point, if WWE throws even more at them, then they're just, and they lose, it's going to make the WWE possible.
Well, the thing is, this Friday is the draft show, and I imagine they're probably going to be.
Nope. A week, well, yeah, a week from this Friday.
Yeah, a week from this Friday is the draft show.
Right.
So I imagine, you know, I think Balor's the first of many, especially now that they've lost the first week. I imagine they're going to want to really load up on the NXT roster. So I wonder if there's talent you could bring over to NXT to really help turn the tide against AEW. Like, if you put like it may or may not happen because he's still prominently booked within WWE, but at the same time, you kind of feel like WWE is not really doing the most they can do with. Balor's obviously the best example, but there are still guys on the main roster that aren't really used, and you wonder how much they would mean for the broadcast if they put, you know, guys like Cesaro or Ricochet, or even I guess the big one would be if they put Daniel Bryan on AEW. I mean, not AEW,
yeah.
NXT.
Yeah, it just came to mind. Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. If you get those guys that quote unquote smart marks or whatever, are more into, that aren't necessarily like, again, if you put Brock Lesnar on a Wednesday night and he loses to AEW, that's just wow, you know, but if you put Daniel Bryan on there, you can attract some of that same audience that AEW has. And they're not doing much with him on SmackDown. And if for some reason Daniel Bryan loses AEW, it's not that really that big of a deal for the company. Kevin Owens is another guy who like definitely will, you know, that's like the bread and butter or red meat for that kind of audience. But, yeah, if he goes on, NXT, that would pull some people over. That would pull some interest over time. You know, if they really work on it and they bring in some top guys, and really work on the creative, they might, Tony, just be able to, you know, muster up, you know, you know, 1.3 to a 1.4 for AEW.
Yeah, because I'm saying that there's enough WWE has on their roster where, you know, there are those difference makers that maybe for the main audience or for Vince anyway, you know, does nothing for him or does nothing for that audience. But if you just absolutely stack NXT with Daniel Bryan's and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, you just absolutely try to stack NXT as much as you can with talent that for the most part won't necessarily be missed on the main roster, but for an NXT audience would do wonders. At the same time, it's like, I don't, if that's the case, I really don't care who wins then. Cause it's like, well, I will win cause I'll have two great products that I can watch.
Yeah.
And that's another thing I want to bring up too. You really can't sit there and complain about the state of WWE then. Cause before, I guess you could argue, you know, there was no national alternative. There was WWE and, you know, there was all these sort of other promotions that were sort of nipping at WWE's heel, but you had to, you know, you had to download their app and you had to pay for the subscription, or you had to look at a cable channel that you don't necessarily have in most packages, or you have to look through your cable package and, you know, oh, I didn't even know that had that channel. That's how I can watch, this promotion. Okay. Maybe I'll watch it, you know, here and there, maybe a pay-per-view. But now you have two national alternatives to the mainline WWE. So really, at this point, I really don't want to see the crying and complaining every Sunday or every Monday or Friday when something happens on Raw or SmackDown or a pay-per-view that you don't like. Like, right. At this point, I have no patience for people that are going to... What's that?
Yeah, just stop watching. You know, I think some people just watch out of habit because they always have. And it's like, I stopped years ago on Raw because it was just like, I just don't enjoy watching this at all. And I get like, at best, it just pisses me off. It feels like, makes me feel bored and uninterested, and it pisses me off that the product's bad or whatever. And I stopped watching WWE and SmackDown regularly years ago. And I was someone watched for like 20 years straight, you know? So, I mean, it's really on you. If you're going to complain about this and that and that there's nothing good out there, you know, whatever, you should stop watching Raw and SmackDown and start watching AEW and NXT and just make that your, you know, go-to night for wrestling.
Yeah, like I said, I am biased towards AEW, but if NXT really steps it up and if they literally put on the better product, I won't mind watching NXT over AEW. I mean, and lucky I'm a scenario where I don't have to choose. I can watch NXT and then watch the live-to-tape broadcasts of AEW. So I'm not really forced to choose one or the other. So, you know, it's one of those things where they mentioned in the that press release, you know, the winners at the end of the day are the audience. And at the end of the day, I would prefer an AEW because, you know, I can really put my foot down and say, well, I want an alternative. But at the same time, if NXT is giving me great wrestling and we're getting all these superstars that weren't utilized on the main roster, if NXT is the better show at the end of the day, I won't begrudgingly watch it, or I'll be like, oh, well, they won 5, 6, and 7, but NXT won weeks 8, 9, 10, and 11. It's like, no, if both shows are good, I am the winner. I get two great alternatives to WWE that are really good. And really, I get to pick and choose what I want to watch or what I like better. So really, it's win-win, not lose-lose for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, that's what makes it interesting. And frankly, if NXT loses every week but gets closer and closer to beating AEW, that would be probably the most interesting version of the war that I would like to see, you know. So we'll see what happens. You know, like, I think the NXT product will probably be hotshotted a lot. I mean, they hotshotted like crazy on this one. They didn't win. I can't think that they're going to win next week because they don't have anything planned, and really, you know, they're going to get back to that hotshot mode, I'm sure. But then what are they going to do? They're going to throw everything at them and they're still going to lose. I will say this.
I trust Hunter enough to where I don't see him willing to do hotshot stuff. But the thing is, he didn't really hotshot. He had those 2 weeks to build up, you know, this show, and I don't think we're going to get continual hot shots. I think eventually what we're going to have happen is they're going to retool the show here and there, and then they'll probably do the draft, and if depending how bad week two goes, you know, they really may just load up and just really try to stack the deck in their favor. And, you know, if we're going to get, you know, and Daniel Bryan wrestling Adam Cole in NXT main events, I am not going to complain. And if NXT is still putting on better wrestling, I'll have no problem watching, you know, if I have to choose, if I'm really busy and I have things to do and I only have time for the one product, you know, I don't mind watching NXT over AEW.
So. Well, you know, but make sure you watch AEW before you pause.
Of course.
I think you just outed yourself. No, I'm just kidding. That's as a fan, you know, hey, as a regular fan, like that's the, you know, perspective to have, right? Mm-hmm. So, I don't even care it just depends on the guys, you know, but if the product feels more fresh, which great wrestling helps that, a lot of other things help that. I'm going to wonder kind of what they're going to do each segment or, you know, next week to week. Then I'm going to stick with, you know, whatever product does that the most. And right now it's AEW by miles. So, let's go into some random stuff. Neville, picking up a win against Kenny Omega, submission win, at All Out. And then on Dynamite on Wednesday, he beat Adam Page, who was in the world title match. So Neville's being brought up a lot on the roster, undefeated, I guess. I mean, being basically, essentially, what are the top two baby faces in the company? They're really building a strong heel there. And I think that I like that he went over Paige on Wednesday. I was kind of surprised, kind of just like how I was surprised against when he beat Omega, you know. But I don't know. I really like that they're building him up. I think they need strong heels that people just despise, you know, like Jericho, strong heel that people just despise. Neville can be that, you know, in that same level because people don't like him. The smart marks, they really don't like him. They'll boo the hell out of him. They genuinely and authentically don't like him. So that's great. You know, that's what you want for your top level heels. What did you think about Neville's kind of ascension up the ranks here?
You mean Pack?
Pack. Are they calling him Pack or Neville?
They call him Pack.
Oh God! All right.
Apparently that's the way.
That's his real name. So that's the way. I don't. Have to
yeah, that's the way it's supposed to have been pronounced this entire time. Obviously, years we've been pronouncing it Pac. Sometimes Pac. I'll stubbornly just call him Pac, just to stick it to him. Because I don't like saying Pack. It's stupid. But yeah, he's being, you know, booked prominently. He's kind of a name. He's one of these guys that had an axe to grind with WWE. Now he's coming to AEW. And, you know, he is sort of a big name. He's a really good wrestler on top of it. So the idea of they're promoting him as a top guy, it's like, okay, I'm not really begrudge AEW to use him like that because he's a really good wrestler who didn't get a fair shake from WWE, and now he's being booked prominently with wins over Omega and Hangman Page, and it's like they may be telegraphing where they're going with their world title if Pac is supposed to be the next challenger. Mm. I don't see them doing heel versus heel, and especially with the news that supposedly Jericho will be wrestling Tanahashi soon, that may also tip the hand of what AEW is going to be doing. You know, putting the title on Cody, and then we get Cody versus Pac.
Mm. I don't know about that. I think Jericho's in it, you know, like with AEW. I think, you know, how do you think that his deal with New Japan is going to interfere necessarily with...
I'm just saying, let's say he's booked for New Japan to wrestle Tanahashi, and New Japan has Jericho scheduled to lose. Now, you could argue, well, that's not on AEW TV, that's not on TNT, so if he loses, you know, A, are they going to acknowledge it, and B, at the end of the day, does it really matter?
Mm-hmm.
Part of you is thinking, well, I'll know if he loses to Tanahashi, and that kind of, you know, in a sort of wacky way, you know, it kind of diminishes the AEW title if you have a top New Japan talent going out there and beating. But then again, that could open the door for New Japan talent to be brought into AEW. I mentioned earlier how sort of, you know, NXT can sort of take their product to the next level by really stacking the roster. But you know, if AEW starts to, you know, I think once the year is up, New Japan may be able to work with whoever they want to. So AEW could also stack the deck in their favor as well by bringing in all that New Japan talent. That could be a game changer as well.
Big time. I mean, more for, again, red meat for the base fans that are already there. You know, you're not maybe necessarily going to attract casual fans of names like Okada and Tanahashi, honestly. But for the people that are wanting to watch great wrestling, oh my God, I mean, that'd be amazing. So, like, yeah, the people that are already there, the audience, I mean, that's definitely going to get you to support them. And I mean, I think New Japan initially was like, hey, man, we're doing our own national thing. Like, yeah, Omega can work in New Japan, but we're not going to have him work here because, like, he's an AEW guy now. And we don't want to, you know, associate, blah, 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 blah. And they weren't really, I guess, supportive or excited to work with AEW at all, thinking that, hey, we have a national product, or they, you know, we're trying to expand it to different markets in the U.S., this and that. And I think AEW would be willing to work with them, even if they are trying to expand it to different,
The thing is, working with Ring of Honor hasn't really, you know, hurt them as far as moving to a national product. My thing is, we've seen from, you know, Omega's been open to working New Japan and AEW. AEW's fine with him doing it, but for a reason why, the way Omega left, they're still a little butthurt over it. So I wonder if, you know, when their deal with the Ring of Honor is up, and I don't know all the details, but as far as I know, it's up by the end of the year. So I wonder if next year, if we're going to get, New Japan will just swallow their pride and just, you know, work with AEW.
At this point, I think, you know, 6 months ago, they wouldn't think this was a case at all. And I could see their perspective where they were at 6 months ago. But, you know, 6 months later, where we're at now, it's like New Japan on weekly, you know, getting the product out weekly on Wednesdays on the wrestling show on Wednesdays in front of like 1.5 million viewers every week. That's a big coup for New Japan at this point. They would be very, if they kind of got over some of the politics of it, like that would be a very smart move for them. So, I will see, Jericho jobbing out to Tanahashi is not really going to do anything out bad for their national product, in AEW for the casual fans, at least, I think, you know, maybe like some of the core fans, and I think Jericho's like the Hogan, you know, like the heel Hogan kind of character where like, back in WCW, where like, hey, if he's gone making movies, or in Jericho's case, if he's gone like doing rock concerts or fucking going, you know, working in New Japan, or you know, just whatever, he's just not there every week. That's okay because like he's a chicken shit heel, and he only defends his title as much as they make him defend it. You know, maybe once every month or 2 months or whatever. He's got the name value. I think he's a great top heel right now for other guys to kind of work their way up to hopefully get a match with him. I think it would be a bad move if they switched to Cody, which is, you know, again, that's a great segue into the matches, scheduled for, the next pay-per-view. Cody and, Jericho. I mean, these are kind of the two best built guys in the company right now. And I hope Cody doesn't win it, you know, but I do think we're getting a really good match.
Okay. Well, then I think that's a great point of discussion then. Why don't you want Cody to win? He's been booked prominently. He's kind of reinvented himself, and the last couple of shows, you know, as I think from maybe was the exception, but you know, he tends to have the best match on the card. So I don't know if it would hurt my feelings if they decide to put the title on him.
I mean, maybe long term that'd be all right. I already kind of thought that they were maybe pushing things a little fast with having Cody versus Jericho already for their next show. But I know they only do 4 pay-per-views a year now, so which is a new format for a lot of wrestling fans to get used to.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know if long term that's a good strategy. Cause I think it may be just because we're so used to modern day wrestling of getting a pay-per-view every month, but it's just going to be weird. Just having, you know, 52 weeks and we're only building up to 4 pay-per-views. I understand some of that is because there's a lot of old school fans who, you know, back in the day, you know, we only had the big 4. And to be honest, that sort of kind of made sense because they didn't have nearly as much TV as they did now. I don't know if you can have both. You can have we're only going to have the big 4 pay-per-views. And this includes NXT as well, but we're still going to have the big prominent weekly wrestling show. I don't know if you can do that because back in the day when WWE did have the 4 pay-per-views, they did not have, as far as I know, they did not have the weekly wrestling show on prime time. Like maybe they'd be on Saturday night's main event here and there. What's that?
Yeah, prime time. I was going to say, I just had to say it. Sorry. They had prime time wrestling, which was on, I think on Mondays. It was the show was on before Raw, and there was a studio show, and they would show matches that happened in other arenas and this and that.
But I'm saying it wasn't a show the caliber of a Raw or a Nitro. So or it's Dynamite. It's like, okay, I can understand a product like that having 4 pay-per-views a year. But if you're having high profile weekly 2-hour television of, you know, fresh matches live on television, I don't know if for both products, 4 pay-per-views is viable.
I think it's so alien to what we're used to. NXT does five.
For NXT, it wouldn't be a problem because they have the network, so you're not really asking fans to buy more pay-per-views. Whereas AEW may, with their, you know, they're still working their way into the market where, you know, maybe four pay-per-views is the most they can ask for now. And especially, you're not talking pay-per-views on a network where you're asking someone to pay $9.99 a month. You're asking, you know, basically for full-blown pay-per-view, you know, $60. So yeah, maybe for what the AEW audience is right now, four pay-per-views may be the way to go for now. But if this thing really starts to take off and you're looking at, you know, a 2.0 rating, yeah, maybe monthly pay-per-views might be the way to go.
Yeah, I can see that's definitely like the old perspective, old, you know, I guess what we would now consider in our generation, like the kind of traditional old school perspective, because hey, that's the way it's been for like over 20 years, you know, like is, you know, even ECW at one point was getting to monthly pay-per-views back when they were, you know, on TV, and certainly Impact and just all the other promotions that have gone and gone, as well as established ones like the WWE, you know, it's once a month, you know, you have a pay-per-view. But to me, that would really undermine what AEW has going for it. And to me, what they have going for it for themselves is freshness. You want to see the next AEW show once you're done with the first one. Like, you want to see, like, oh, what are they going to do next? And if they're only working with so many guys on each episode, that nobody gets overexposed. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing that they definitely have an advantage over WWE, and WWE will never, at least in the next few years, be able to do anything about that. You know, like the way the WWE is ran, everybody's overexposed constantly. Mm-hmm. You see them all the time. They even have reality shows where you know, the female talent's overexposed. It's just, it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, like nobody's special anymore. And all the AEW talent gets to feel special and look special because you only get to see them maybe once a week. Maybe I get to see Cody wrestle once a week. Maybe. Probably not. Maybe every couple weeks would be a better idea, honestly. Because you got to get other guys in, you know? And guys like MJF, you know, probably see him every couple weeks. And all you have to do, their only job right now is to sell out arenas. Again, that helps when you don't get to see the guys enough. Hey, I want to go buy a ticket to go to the next show, because I'm going to get more of a full show, and man, I'm left wanting more from these guys, so of course I'm going to go see them live. They have to sell pay-per-views. Again, like, you know, they have a different format than WWE, than a lot of wrestling these days. I mean, $50 for one show, it's definitely an older notion to do that, but the way you do it is like, hey, you know, like, it's only four times a year. And I just want to see bigger matches. I want to see, they're not hot shotting their shows on cheap free TV. So I want to see what they're going to do. You know, that's the perspective. It's like, I want to see anything AEW. I want to see. Now, if you thought that about the WWE, like that would be, it's like you get more than you ever would want. Like you get so much. It's like being at a buffet versus having a nice meal. The nice meal is going to make you want to go there the next day. The next opportunity you get at buffet, you get eat so much food, you get sick sometimes. And that's how WWE feels to me. So it's like, I've seen so much. I've seen these guys in so many different scenarios. I see these guys all the time. And if I want to see more, 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 I can do that. And that's the problem with the product right now. And that's what's killing them, honestly, I think. Now, it's not killing them financially because, you know, they're able to break into different markets like Saudi Arabia, and now they have a show on Fox. So they're going to be fine financially. But as far as interest from the fans, that's what's killing them, I think. But this is my own perspective. I think it's better for the AEW show. I mean, ideally, yeah, if I was just going to randomly just have it, AEW should stream for $10 a month and we can see their monthly pay-per-views every month for $10. But to me, it's like, well, you only have to have four really great shows a year and also get great ratings on for TNT and you'll be doing just fine. And they're in that capacity to do that because nothing's getting overexposed. So that's why I'm really happy with what they're doing. This is really genius on their part. So I think they're definitely having the right approach on all levels here.
Okay.
Very passionate about it, as you can tell.
So, what are we going to talk about next on the next show, Dave?
Well, let's say, wait a minute. In the next show, we'll talk about the lineup. What's it, Full Gear? Is that what that's what they're calling the pay-per-view?
Yeah.
There's some kind of gears going on. I think it's Full Gear. Go over that, go over angles going on in the shows. Sorry, we didn't get too much this week. Quick thoughts on Kevin Smith being at AEW. What did you think about that?
I just thought it was a neat little promotional tie-in. I guess he's peddling, was it a movie?
Jay and Silent Bob, reboot. So, I think it comes out in a couple weeks. It's actually like, it's a road, they're doing a road show with it, this and that, but you can see it through Phantom screenings on the 15th and 17th of October. And he didn't pay us for that. So, you know, but, I've always been a Kevin Smith fan. I thought it was funny seeing like Jack Evans of all people going back and forth with Jason Mewes because they do look like they're related, honestly.
I'm surprised they didn't do anything with it. Yeah, it's funny.
I'm sure they smoked a lot of pot with that. And it was kind of a dumb angle, but it was something that has a huge, huge fandom. I was just on Facebook when everything was going on. Apparently, you know, Kevin Smith had a live stream because I follow Kevin Smith of the show like 5 or 10 minutes before it started and everything counting down and how he's in the front row and everything. So it really put it over on his social networking. And then I actually saw part of the Sammy Guevara Cody match via his phone as well. So it was pretty cool little promotion for them. I had seen celebrities in the front row at NXT. So, you know, hey. But it's a good idea.
How dare you? We had Hall and Nash there.
Yeah, okay. all right. So, I mean, celebrities that non-wrestling.
Yeah, I know. I'm just having fun.
I know Nash has been like, in The Punisher and Longest Yard? And
yeah.
Yeah, he's been some stuff, you know? Super Shredder. So, there you go. But yeah, next week, let's talk more about the pay-per-view Footwear Gear. We will have a pod between now and when that airs, and who knows, you know, like things get really crazy and like on these AEW episodes we had to do more pods, but we'll see you in a few weeks, folks. And anything last words, Tony?
No, thanks for checking out the show, and I'll talk to you guys next time we do a podcast.